for example, right, like people who are finishing their either their career on design or the bootcamp on design. No, I'm not a designer. I'm probably a design student. And then I ask them, so when do you think you can be a designer? So, and I think that's more like a, again, self-reflection process to understand that actually, if you have some, you know, the design processing in place, and then you have some portfolio there, just give yourself the, allow yourself to be a designer, or put yourself, in a higher regard, and then that will give you the opportunity and open more doors for you.
Hola and welcome to episode 8 of Latinx's Who Design, a podcast focused on Latinx designers from all backgrounds, shapes, colors, and sizes. I am your host, Michel Ferreira, a Brazilian designer living in Sydney, Australia. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to send us a message via anchor.fm/LatinxIsWhoDesign/message. This week on the pod, I had the pleasure of chatting with Jordi Tambillo. Jordi is a Peruvian designer and maker living in the Netherlands. He is currently working on design systems at Trip Actions, a leading business travel and expense platform. Previously, he led the universal search vision at Booking.com and worked on Todoist as one of their first designers. And now, Jordi Tambillo. Hi, Jordi. How are you doing?
Hey, Michel. I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
Well, nice to meet you and nice to see you. So, Jordi, would you mind telling us where you're calling from?
I'm currently calling from the Netherlands, from Amsterdam.
Nice. And what do you do in Amsterdam?
What does this Peruvian guy do in Amsterdam? So, yeah. So I'm Jordi. I'm a staff product designer. I'm currently working at Trip Actions. I've been living in the Netherlands for the past, almost 4 years now. It's crazy. Time flies. And yeah, as I was saying, I'm originally from Peru. I came here for work with my suitcase, and that's about it. And then I never look back.
Nice. Can you tell me a little bit more of what does a staff product designer do, and who is Trip Actions?
Yeah, who is Trip Actions? Good questions. So Trip Actions would be B2B business, travel and expense platform that allow companies, you know, to keep track of their expenses, and with a strong focus on customer support. And then that allow them companies to save a lot of also money, because now they keep track on where they are spending more. And then also allows employees to use the Trip Actions as their to-go travel platform, you know, to set up their journey if they want to plan their trips, because we have products like hotels, flights, trains, black cars, and others.
Nice, cool. And so what does a staff product designer do at Trip Actions?
Oh, yeah, good question. So I came here to work originally on localization, which is we're launching to new markets. And for my role, it was more focused on the strategy, on defining, you know, the end-to-end traveler experience. So defining, you know, customer journey mapping, defining what are the core job stories that we wanted to have on this localized product, and defining also the to-go principles that we needed to have for localization. So it was more focusing on the strategy, working with the stakeholders, from product managers, designers, even QA involved, to make sure that we had the right way to launch the product and localize it to the new markets. And yeah, and then recently I'm switching to design systems, which is something I'm really excited about.
Nice. Could you share a little bit of how your normal week is, or your normal work day is?
For sure. So we're kicking off this design systems project recently, but I could say right now it's focusing on more on the foundations layer, you know, typography, colors, spacing, and all the core elements before moving forward with the more complex patterns. I think if we have solid foundations, we can move forward faster than you know, having the predefined, you know, there are a lot of design systems that are already predefined, but we want to make things right. And we have, I think, a very talented team. For example, my design director is Matt Spiel, which is coming from Lyft. So he has a lot of knowledge about how to deal with the complex systems. And by the way, I think I mentioned I come from Booking.com. So there is also a lot of knowledge that that I kind of see the complexity of how products can be. And I think for me is to the first approach I would like to have is to define solid foundation. So in this case, you know, for example, I have right now a strong focus on colors, which is defining what are the color tokens. And for that, I need to work really, really close with engineers and designers to map absolutely every instance of colors, how they use it, and then try to make sure that if we define color tokens, what is the top solution that we want to approach for the design system. So then we don't have to go back and forth between, you know, redefining it over and over, but having, again, solid foundations and then move forward with more complex topics.
Cool. Nice. It seems like very interesting work. You mentioned you're working for Trip Actions now and you're working for Booking.com before, but you're also from Peru. So if we go back to the beginning here, can you take us all the way back to where you started and how you started into the design world?
For sure. So I actually studied software engineering, and I studied that because I really liked, for some reason, I really like 3D animation, and I thought software engineering meant you can do a little bit. I mean, 3D animation software should be related, right? So it was so naive back then. And when I started the career, I figured out, nope, it's nothing related to 3D animation. So I didn't actually do that. And then from there, I mean, you see that the career for software engineering is not necessarily the visual compared to the counterpart of design. And back then, when I started in Peru, there weren't many schools about UX design, so it was tricky to study that, and I didn't even know what UX design was. So in the middle of the career, I decided, okay, I'm going to spin off a little bit. And then I decided to start in an institute for graphic design, which is the closer thing. And I thought that I really enjoyed that. And I actually did for the beginning. So I did, I think, 1 year of career. And then, learning the foundations of the theory of color, the fundamentals of design. So that was interesting. But then it starts getting into the point where it was focusing more on packaging, for example, and that's something that I think it was too different from what I had in mind. And then I was just, okay, so I have a little bit of knowledge of code, I have a little bit of knowledge of design. There is a thing called web design. I guess I can be a web designer. And then I started applying for jobs related to that. I had the luck to find an agency that was looking for a web design intern. And that's where I started my career. But I think it was all discovery, trying to go back and forth. I cannot tell you that it was, from the beginning, it was clear I'm going to be a product designer or a UX designer. It was more a self-discovery on the go. And then from there, I think it was just eye-opening working from that agency, because I could see that actually, I can get money from doing this, which is funny. And I'm also learning. And I'm of course, my work can have impact in the world. And, you know, your design can be seen by a lot of people. So that's really a good experience to have, you know, a good feeling. So from there, I started yeah, growing in the field. But I would say that was the beginning of it, or my interest for design.
Nice. That's really cool. It's really interesting because I got into design basically because of the same thing. I got into design because of 3D and wanting to do animation. And there was also no school like that in Brazil. So it's a very similar story. I'm very keen in understanding. So what do you, I mean, that was what inspired you back then. And you ended up in, you know, in a different kind of design. What inspires you to keep doing design today and to keep being a designer in, you know, in the tech world?
I think the problem solving parts is something that I'm very excited about. And then to see how design can empower individuals, but also companies. Now the design thinking, it's something that every company have in their DNA. And it's very clear the impact that does have. And this goes beyond, you know, the UI. Of course, starting the career, I thought design is equal to UI. UI is equal to design, and that's about it. But now that I move forward, I relate design to problem solving, and that's at least for me a definition for what we do. And that inspires me a lot because I continually keep seeing, not just seeing my company, but I see other people that inspires me with what they're doing, and actually how can design help them solve complex problems, you know, like either in healthcare or innovation, fintech. We see a lot of innovation happening and empowered by design. So that's what is exciting for me. And also that design cannot necessarily come from designers by title, but can come from anywhere. So working with absolutely a broad range of you know, other disciplines with engineers, with QA, with product managers that help you to have a broader perspective of what could be a good solution. Believe me that I think that some of the best solutions that I managed to, you know, feature to release with coworkers have come from engineers actually. So that's, I think, for me, again, eye-opening. And then the continuous learning path that we have on the field is something that excites me a lot as well.
That's amazing. That's a pretty cool one, knowing that you believe, you know, in design coming from everywhere. Have you had any resistance from anyone in this area when you mentioned to them that you, you know, you enjoy design coming from everywhere and from everyone? What have you found as part of your experience?
That's a good question. I hadn't had like a specific resistance on this topic because I think at the end of the day, it's in our nature that we want to belong, that we want to kind of feel that we also have ideas and we also can contribute. So I had the luck to work in squads, I guess, most of the time, and in the teams that I work, either on here or previous at Booking, or even previous I used to work at a company called Todoist, which is a productivity remote first productivity team. So everyone was super open to kind of provide ideas back and forth, but of course I like to encourage like non-designers to bring more ideas to the table because those ideas are there. The thing is that if they are not used to, because you know the designers didn't ask them, then that becomes a pattern. So what I love to do is to involve everyone in the design decisions because at the end of the day, everyone has ideas. And so I don't know why there is the misconception that because we are designers, oh no, we have to be the Steve Jobs of the company and we have to come up with you know with a solution like out of the blue. Well, instead, I like to, you know, do some workshop sessions and work with the engineers and designers and product managers, and then make everyone involved so everyone can, you know, put their ideas out there, and then we can do voting exercises and then see what's the best idea to go, but do it as a group, not as a designer that's kind of, you know, the Steve Jobs and defining what is going to be just because. Of course, we can be a great, at least I like to believe I'm a good facilitator. So of course you can drive where that discussion is going because of the knowledge we have on design and so on problem solving. But the ideas, for sure, I truly believe they can come from anywhere.
That's awesome. I love that reference. And It feels like a very nice design culture to have to work with that kind of mentality, right? If we're talking about culture, I would like to ask you, you know, what is the culture like for you there in the Netherlands? Have you acclimatized? Are you feeling like you are, you know, feeling at home already? How are you feeling?
Oh, it's a good question. Thanks for asking. I would say that the culture in the Netherlands is direct. People is really straightforward here. And that's a good thing if you're prepared for that, I would say. And I think that's something that I mentioned that it's one of the things that I'm constantly improving. As a Latino, I'm not sure if it's a Peruvian thing or not. We tend to go into circles when we talk about these things. You know, we just go into circles and we don't get to the point. We talk about everything but the point. But here, the culture is more straightforward. What do you need from whatever you know, discussion you have? But that also helps, for example, if we have meetings or sessions, we make sure that there is a reason for that meeting, and then a clear reason. What do we want to get out of that session? And then you have, you know, more meaningful sessions or meetings or workshops, because then you have a clear outcome in place. So that's something that I would say helped me in the grow. And yeah, and of course, like the understanding that when Dutch, I would say, are telling you something, feedback, they don't have the filters that we may have in other cultures, right? We have some filters to make it, you know, more softer. If it's a hard feedback, then you make it way, way softer. But the Dutch culture is, I would say, quite more direct.
Nice. Is there any challenges you faced with not being in your own country, or have you noticed any challenges, you know, from being in a different culture in a different country?
Right. So, yeah, the thing is that I always wanted to move abroad, and then I think that was when working for. Yeah, when finishing my career, I had to finish the career, by the way, of software engineering, because I thought, okay, I'm going to move to, you know, the dream of Silicon Valley. So I would say, okay, I'm going to move to the States. And then I applied to every single company there. And then, yeah, I think like that was the original idea when I decided to I'm going to live abroad. And then, that's what I wanted to do. However, the opportunity didn't come. Not, and the worst part is, was not because of talent. It was more because of visa and paperwork, which was something that struck me really bad, because you face a wall when it's not anymore about the skills or the talent to have. So when moving to the Netherlands, before to that, I applied to Booking, I think through the website, and that's the part where my former friends, like, or my friends in Peru, like, they don't believe that it's as easy as, yeah, you see a position, you apply, and then there you go, you have the interview, and then if things go well, you can go to that country. So it seems like not so realistic, but it is how it is. And I apply, I went through the process and for Booking. And then again, as I mentioned, I came with a big suitcase and a small suitcase, and that's about it. And then when, yeah, getting used to the culture, you know, like I moved by myself. So of course there is a cultural challenge that I miss the food. I miss, of course, you may have heard of Peruvian food, but of course I miss my food. I miss the friends, I miss family. But at the same time, I had a clear goal why am I here, right? Like, why am I trying to go abroad? And then I learned a lot. And then I think, like, the in terms of being more open-minded in how to, you know, deal with other cultures, and then have a feeling more empathy for everyone. I think that's something that I'm trying to focus more, instead of course, I will always miss my food, my family, friends, the weather. unfortunately, Netherlands is not well known for the amazing weather. And that's something I have to, I have to deal with. So that's, it is what it is in that sense. But I try to focus on the positive things that I'm learning that otherwise I wouldn't have learned ever. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity. And yeah, and at the same time, trying to contribute back either with conversations like this one, or, you know, like trying to mentor some upcoming designers that wants to either are starting their career or want to have this, this knowledge about, hey, how did you make it to a place like that? How is it possible for you? Is it possible for me? And then that's where you can kind of have those eye-opening conversations that that I think are very meaningful. And yeah, thanks for doing this, because giving voice, you know, to minorities or people of color, it's actually enabling other people who are listening to these conversations to see if this person could make it, I can make it too. At least that's the mentality I had. But of course, it helps a lot to have someone from your either home country or a similar context like you. Like you say, okay, if you're starting with, software engineering and you want to move to design, yes, it's possible. And then you know a reference of people who can make it, so you can make it too.
Yeah, that's this was a great answer, by the way. And thank you for the shout out. But I mean, you've been doing something similar, haven't you? You've been doing your own podcast and trying to help others and mentoring others. So would you mind telling us the name of your podcast and what it is about?
Thanks for a shout out. Yes, I have a podcast in Spanish called Design Stories. And the concept is actually similar, and I'm excited to have like more platforms like this, sharing the content of you know, minorities or more broader names, and then different stories that can resonate with people who are starting out. So yeah, the goal of the show, it's to empower, you know, people starting their careers. And then the problem that I see a lot also is that the English is not that good in terms of understanding or reading or speaking in Peru. But there are a lot of people who are starting their careers directly, you know, trying to learn. So if I can put the content in Spanish for the audience where I'm going, I think it helps a little bit for them to, you know, to have someone or some content that can resonate with them. And yeah, similar, I like to also bring different perspective on people who've made it, which is an interesting one as well. I think that's a deeper topic. What does making it means? Because I've heard like a lot from different people. And I think I'm mentoring like on an ongoing basis, like this Colombian designer. And then he would say, oh, you made it because you moved to the Netherlands. But that means something completely different for someone who is, in other stage in their career. Making it could be a head of design, a design director, a senior designer. And depends also on the company. So some people say, oh, you made it when you manage to land a job in XYZ company. So I think like it's really important for each individual to do their own self-reflection on what a success means to you, and then work from there. Because that's if you see the career paths from each person, and then you can deconstruct, you know, you can reverse engineering that process, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be making it because you follow that exact process. You have to find your own paths. And I think that's the process that we're all in, and we are all trying to figure it out, you know, like what is the next step of who we are as individuals and who we are as designers.
100% agree. And now I have to ask you, so you've mentioned that someone said, you know, to you, you made it, or that they believed you made it. When do you consider you made it? What's your you made it moment?
Yeah, I think that's a funny question it's more common in Spanish than in English. I'm not sure if it's that common, but yeah, I hear that quite often, and I'm still trying to figure it out. What do you mean I've made it. I have a job and I have a house and I have my day routine. And yeah, I do things like everyone else. Like we have conversation. We continue to learn. So I wouldn't say like there is a definition of a clear definition of I made it when I have something material or not, you know? Oh, that's something else that I forgot to mention. The European culture is not as materialistic as others. I would say I love that a lot. Like people can, at least Amsterdam is a bubble itself, is super open-minded in terms of welcoming people from different cultures. So I would say like learning from, you know, from others, not just design, but learning different stories from other people. That's something that I'm really, really interested about. And in the terms of making it, hard for me to answer. I'm not sure if I have a moment in my life or my career that I would say I've made it, but I think it's more like the satisfaction, you know, that when you do what you love, once you find that balance. And I think like you, in my case, in the continuously learning path, and I can know that, okay, I'm challenging myself and I'm doing something that I enjoy doing. That's something that I'm extremely happy right now. So I would say like that, yeah, I feel like I wouldn't say that the definition of making it, but it's more like, okay, I'm happy with what I do and I would love to continue doing that. If I could only add one thing, would be I would love to contribute on a bigger scale to the, you know, to the community back home. There are initiatives like shout out to Laboratoria. There is a social enterprise organization in Peru. Well, actually, they grow a lot in all South America. Empowers women who don't have access to higher education, empowers them to teach them how to code, how to design, and then matches them with jobs, job opportunities in Latin America. So that's something that I would love to keep going, like in a broader level than just one-on-one mentorship. I think those are helpful and that helps a lot. But I still have that in my mind. I think at some point to contribute in a bigger scale to the community back there.
Nice, amazing. Okay, so you started out in Peru. You didn't know you were going to be a designer. You started out in software development. If you could go back and you could tell yourself anything, you have a time machine, Jordi. You can go back and you can give yourself any advice. What would be the advice you'd give yourself starting out?
That's a good question. I would say the self-reflection, I think that's something that I think I'm doing on a continuous basis, but I would emphasize a lot more starting my career. Because that helps a lot to understand where you're going. And that's something that I also ask. I ask other the design leaders, and then the answer is, yeah, I wish I could have planned my career better. I wish I could have defined what I wanted to do back then better. It's okay also to go with the flow, you know, to go one step at a time. I don't think there is a right way to, you know, to nail the career path for a designer. But I would say self-reflection, and it's something that I would have put more emphasis at the beginning of my career. And the other one that I would say is the confidence. I think the confidence to feel that the talent, you know, like it's there. And if you know that you're doing a good work, believe in it, believe in yourself, and then bet on yourself. I think there is nothing as powerful as betting on yourself first before other people can believe in you. So I think if you have that confidence, you can go farther in your career. You know, you see a job opportunity and you feel like, I may be a good match, but you know, I probably need like 5 years more of experience. Just give it a try. There is nothing to lose. And I think that that's the part where I for some reason, I do feel some people don't feel confident enough, especially starting out, that I cannot put that I'm a designer yet. So for example, right, like people who are finishing their either their career on design or the bootcamp on design. No, I'm not a designer. I'm probably a design student. And then I ask them, so when do you think you can be a designer? So, and I think that's more like a, again, self-reflection process to understand that actually, if you have some, you know, the design processing in place, and then you have some portfolio there, just give yourself the, allow yourself to be a designer or put yourself, in a higher regard. And then that will give you the opportunity and open more doors for you.
Nice. That was really cool. Good advice to yourself. I hope you take it. What would be your dream job if you could choose anything in the world that you would like to do? What would you love doing?
Good question. I love what I'm doing right now. I think, like, you know, complex problem. I love holistic problem solving, you know, to think about really end to end and something that involves different stakeholders. That's something that makes me think a lot. And that's something I enjoy. And that challenge is great for me. But if I can put, you know, like I can do anything, maybe focusing entirely on the contributing back again to mentoring or to contributing back to a more global scale of this, not necessarily design, but believe me, like it's been eye opening when I was also a design mentor for a few months in this gap between. Before jumping to booking, I was a mentor to this community, well, this organization in Peru. And then I was teaching them design. And then the laptops they have in that organization back then, I'm not sure how it is right now, they were just donated laptops, right? And those were using Windows. I was proficient at Framer. And then, okay, but Framer is not running on Windows. How am I going to tell them that's the tool that you have to use? I'm talking about back then, right? When there was no Framer web. So then, I started teaching them Figma. And then that was great, but they didn't have a mouse. So that's the interesting part. And I think the eye-opening that the tools that we have right now, or at least I see it more going more accessible. And that's something that I'm very excited about in the future of design. But we have to think about all the use cases and then how can we democratize design? How can we democratize the tools? So that's something I would love to focus more on in the future, maybe. But in the meantime, of course, I'm trying to give back to the community, trying to do mentorships. We do what we can, right? And I think that's where I'm right now. And of course, if the opportunity comes, I would love to contribute more to the community.
Great, man. And this was a great answer. So, you talked to us about your podcast and your idea of giving back more and being a part of this community. So I want to ask you if you had an open floor to every Latino, every Latina out there starting out in design or even considering starting out in design, what would you say to them? What would be some advice you would give based on your career, things you've learned, mistakes you've made that you would recommend them not do? What can you share to the whole Latinx community listening to you?
So I would say, like, if you're starting your career, surround yourself from people who can, you know, elevate that career path even more. So find yourself a mentor, find yourself a role model, and find yourself a role model that resonates with your own story, because it's different. The career path for someone starting in Brazil, someone starting in Peru, someone starting in different countries, because unfortunately it's not always about design, right? it has to do a lot with more variables that are out of your control. And I think that's something that that it's hard when you're starting out not to know exactly where you can go. Because again, there is not a clear career path if you don't know you're discovering. If you don't have a clear role model that you want to follow, it's tough, and I understand that. So the first thing I would say, believe in yourself, find a role model that resonates with your story, and then work hard. I mean, sometimes you have to work even harder than depending on where you're coming from, and that's something that we need to understand, of course, our baseline, because we don't have the same baseline in different countries. It's completely different, and that's okay. We need to do self-reflection of where we are starting from before we know where we are going. And yeah, and then the other part, I know it's a cliche, but believe in yourself, like that, bet on yourself. That's the first thing you have to do before you want anyone else to believe in you.
Awesome. Believe in yourself before you expect anyone to believe in you. That's a really good one. I have one more question for you. What is your design superpower, Jordi?
Good question. I would say it's bringing people together. I don't like to design alone. And then I think I like to think that's a good thing. And I think like that, of course, there is this myth that of course, there is the cool designer that comes out of the blue with a nice solution and then presents it to everyone. Everyone's kind of, wow, this is awesome. But at the same time, that process that, you know, you disappear for 3 months and after 3 months, you come up with something amazing. That's hard for me to resonate, because you don't know. I need continuous feedback on what I'm working on. And I think like bringing people together during the design process help a lot to shape what you need. And at the end of the day, I cannot read minds, right? I can do some assumptions, but it's always 300% better to have everyone involved in your design process. So bringing everyone together help you and help them as well. At the end of the day, we are enablers. I like to think that as well. And then we enable the team, enable your peers, and enable the organization to go further. And I think that's the real power of design.
Awesome. Well, Jordi, it was a pleasure talking to you and meeting you for the first time, because we didn't even bump into each other at booking.com. So this was a very interesting chat, and I really appreciate you taking the time and joining me at the end of your day there. Or is it the beginning of the day? Oh my gosh, time zones.
It's the beginning of my day, but thanks for having me, man. This was a great conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. And I really appreciate you joining me and taking the time. And again, go check out Jordi's podcast, Design Stories. I'm imagining available everywhere, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts.
Everywhere you can hear the podcast and also this podcast, please give it a listen. It's a really great content. I've been following it for a while. So thanks, Michelle, for doing this as well.
Thank you, man. And have a good one.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I almost forgot. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe. Also, rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. Thank you.